I'm glad you came up.
Well, this week, we're celebrating an important festival. Do you know what it is? An important holiday? What's coming up later this week? Christmas, yeah. Well, it actually feels more like summer, but Christmas is a good guess. Are we going to have Thanksgiving? Yeah. And looking forward to it, aren't you? Because there's going to be food, and there's going to be football, and I think we just forgot something, didn't we? What's the purpose of Thanksgiving? So that we can give thanks to God, right, in our faith. Well, when we think about Thanksgiving, you're probably going to have a big meal, aren't you? And what do you think you're going to have at Thanksgiving? Turkey, yeah, most people get turkey. But for dessert, and that's what this is, a dessert plate. Turkey doesn't go in here. What do you think will go in here? Dessert. What kind of dessert will go in there? I don't think it's cake. Someone said in the first service, cheesecake. There are options. This is a pie plate. This is what you put pie in. And maybe later this week, if your mom or dad has a pie plate, what kind of pie do we usually serve at Thanksgiving? Pumpkin pie, yeah. That's good. Sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it? But you know what? Sometimes there's just not enough pumpkin pie, right? Sometimes if there's maybe five people in your family and only four pieces of pumpkin pie, what happens? Somebody's not going to get pie, right? And I bet it's usually mom or dad. They probably will say, I'm not hungry. Have you ever seen that happen before? Yeah, that's what happens. Do you think they're really not hungry? No, I think they'd love to have pie. But they gave up their chance to get a piece of pie. Why? Why did they do that? It's because they think a lot about you, right? They love you. And because they love you, they want to give up, right? We call that a sacrifice. Mom and dads don't have to be the only one to sacrifice, and that might come in handy someday. But when we think about sacrifice, we think about the sacrifices that we might give up for someone else. And sometimes that's not always easy to do. But what it makes it a lot easier is when we remember what Jesus sacrificed for us to save us. What did Jesus sacrifice? He sacrificed more than a piece of pie. Bless you. What did he sacrifice? He sacrificed himself, right? He gave his life up on the cross to save us from our sins. And wow, Jesus must really love us. Yeah, he does. And I pray that you remember that. But because he sacrifices for us, that leads us to say, hey, Jesus, I want to sacrifice for you. Sometimes it means giving up a piece of pie. Sometimes it means we can help, right? Help our parents, help clean up, help a brother or sister, help someone else. We can all do that. But you know what? That's what my sermon is going to talk about today, about being a living sacrifice to thank God for everything that Jesus has given us. Let's pray right now. Dear Jesus, thank you for sacrificing your life to pay for our sins. Help us now thank you every day of our lives by how we live our lives. Bless us and keep us safe this Thanksgiving, and help us always sacrifice for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you're able. May God's grace, his mercy, and his peace in Jesus be with us now and always. Amen. God's word appointed for this service is recorded for us in the New Testament book of Romans, reading from chapter 12, just one verse today. The Bible says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who loves us and has freed us by his blood, dear members of God's family, have you ever seen a human sacrifice? Bet you didn't expect to hear that question coming to church this morning. But have you ever seen a human sacrifice? You and I don't have to travel deep into the Amazon jungle and go to a pagan temple to see such a thing. No, instead, come with me for just a few moments and come with me to a fourth grade classroom where we get to witness a human sacrifice. Picture a 10-year-old boy sitting at his desk. Without warning, he notices a puddle that's between his tennis shoes and the front part of his pants are all wet. Now, this boy doesn't possibly understand how this all happened, but he does get that when the boys in his class find out what happened, they're probably not gonna let him hear the end of it. And he falsely thinks that if the girls in his class find out, well, they're never gonna talk to him again. And if his teacher realizes what happens, well, then his humiliation will be complete. Now, this boy is smart enough to pray. So he puts his head down on his desk, and this is what he says. Dear God, this is an emergency. I need your help right now. In a few moments, all the coolness that I've ever accumulated since kindergarten will be gone. Save me. As he looks up from his prayer, his eyes lock on with his teacher. And she's walking towards him like she knows what's going on. His heart is filled with terror, of course. And suddenly, a classmate named Susie gets up and steps right in front of the teacher, carrying a goldfish bowl filled with water. For some inexplicable reason, she stumbles and she falls. She pours out the entire contents into his lap. Now, the boy pretends to be upset, but all the while he's thinking to himself, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Can you imagine? Now, instead of being the object of shame, this boy is the object of sympathy. The teacher rushes him down the hallway to the gym locker room, gets him a fresh pair of gym shorts. His classmates, all of them, are down on their hands and knees cleaning up the wet mess. And now there's been an exchange, hasn't there? The ridicule that should belong to him, and the embarrassment and the shame, it's now been transferred, hasn't it? To someone else. You know who it is, right? That's right, Susie. She tries to help, but her classmates say in a mocking voice, "Back off. Haven't you done enough?" Well, finally, at the end of the day, they're going home on the bus, and the boy leans over to Susie and says, "You did that on purpose, didn't you?" And she said, "Yes, I did. I wet my pants once, and I wish someone would have been there to help me." That's what we call a human sacrifice, don't we? To see someone in need, to put yourself in their place, and to go all out, do whatever it takes to spare someone else. That's a human sacrifice, or what St. Paul wrote about in our sermon reading for today. He tells us that as Christian believers, each one of us is to be that, to be a living sacrifice for God. But we can only be that living sacrifice when we understand what God's mercy is and how he's shown us mercy to each one of us. By the end of the sermon, I ask that you join me in praying, each one of us, Lord, make me a living sacrifice for you. First of all, on the basis of Romans chapter 12, we're going to view God's mercy, and then we're going to learn how to demonstrate God's mercy to every single person God brings into our lives. Now, the book of Romans was written by St. Paul, the same man who our church was named after. You know how many chapters there are in Romans, right? 16. The Apostle Paul spent the first 11 chapters describing what God's mercy looks like and why God loves every single sinner. Now in the final five chapters, Paul is putting God's mercy and the doctrine of God's love and mercy into practice. That's why he starts out our sermon reading with a little word that you probably didn't even notice as I read it before, but I pray you'll get it now. Therefore, listen to what Paul said. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. My point is this: on the basis of everything that Paul said about God's mercy, here's where the rubber hits the road for you and me. Here's a time-tested and God-approved way to put God's mercy into action in our own lives. But before we get too far, we need to define mercy. Let's not define it in a limited human way. Instead, let's define it in a God way, totally unlimited. The best definition for God's mercy I've ever heard is this: not getting what you deserved. In my opening example, the boy with a leaky bladder, for what he did, deserved ridicule and embarrassment. Instead, he received help and sympathy. He was shown mercy by Susie. Oh, but that mercy, it came at a great cost. She took his shame upon herself, and she gave him great sympathy. What an exchange. But when we think about it, isn't that exactly what the God-man Jesus did for each one of us? Think about all the sins and all the transgressions we've just done this year. I'm not even talking about last year or in our entire lifetime that have all accumulated so far. At any time, were any of those sins worth it? Anything that you and I did that God said was wrong, we say, wow, that was great. I'm really glad I did that. Not me. In fact, I'm ashamed of what I've done. And I'm sure you would say the same thing. But Jesus did something about it, didn't it? He didn't just feel our shame. He took our shame away. Jesus came to this earth to take our place on the cross and died for every last stinking sin that you've ever done or I've ever done. Jesus died that we might live, and he lives that we might never die. The prophet Isaiah described what Jesus did with his exchange on the cross this way. Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before Jesus even did it, God pinpointed exactly what the coming Messiah would do for every sinner. The Bible says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered by him punished by God, stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's mercy, God's mercy, not getting what we deserve. My wife and I are looking at doing a family vacation next summer, and we're ahead of the game. Our kids live in three different states. We don't often get a chance to see them. That's why it's important for us to plan. And we're planning about staying together, and we're looking at different places to stay, looking on booking.com, other internet websites. It always amazes me how much more that hotels can get when they say, with a spectacular view. Of course, most people don't want to wake up to a garbage dumpster. They don't want to wake up to a dark alley. No, we want to wake up to an ocean, to a mountain, or maybe even a city landscape. Ah, wouldn't that be great to always have a view like that? But St. Paul gives us a view today in our sermon reading that's even better and more spectacular. In this one verse from Romans, Paul gives us the whole reason and our whole purpose for living. It's a view better than you can buy on booking.com. And it's not bought with gold or silver, cash or credit cards. It's bought with the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants you and me to live the rest of the time that we have with heaven in view. And here's what I mean. God wants us to realize that if our next moment is our last, it will be our very first in heaven. Doesn't that make life worth more? It makes life worth more because now that the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts to help us see that God has shown us his mercy, we now get a heavenly view of how we look at everything in this life. Life is short. You and I have only so much time here, and God wants to use you and me to make a difference in the lives of every single person that we meet, to show mercy and to demonstrate it, not just the people we like to show mercy to, but every single person. So how do we do that? It's when we pray, Lord, let me be a living sacrifice. Let me demonstrate your mercy to others. Yes, every day, you and I have the opportunity to demonstrate God's mercy, to show God how grateful we are for the mercy that he's given us. And that involves sacrifice, real sacrifice. Sacrifice isn't a word that we often use or we like to demonstrate to others. And here's why. Sacrifice is hard. It doesn't come naturally. Quite honestly, it's the last thing I feel like doing. And I bet you do too. And yet God still calls us to do that. And God gave us that picture in the Bible to help us understand, right? All those Old Testament sacrifices the people brought to God to thank God. And what did they bring? They brought their best. They brought their animals. And they didn't just sacrifice the leftovers, but the best. This is what we think of God, and that's why they would totally burn up their offering to God, trusting God and giving God their best, remembering that God has given us his best. But does that really happen anymore? My friends, if we call ourselves Christians, and we do, then that means our lives are going to be different. No, we don't sacrifice like a mom doesn't sacrifice. She doesn't say at Thanksgiving, do you see what I did for you, and keep reminding us? Oh, no. She does it humbly. And that's how God calls us to sacrifice, humbly to others. In sports, sacrifices are a big part of what helps a team win and work together. Think of baseball. Think about the radio announcer who says with the bases loaded and one out, it's a long fly ball, deep to left, easy out. But then the runner on third gets to score and the game, the team is winning. What a concept. I mean, you're out, but somebody gets to go home for the good of the team. Certainly sacrifices, they're not limited just to sports. Christian families sacrifice all the time. Parents sacrifice for their kids by working extra hours to pay for that Christian education, to send their kids to St. Paul's, MVL, maybe Martin Luther College. Every day, parents have the opportunity to show mercy, maybe to kids that don't deserve it. I'm not talking about enabling bad behavior, but maybe not every time coming down quite as hard. But as Christian spouses, we make sacrifices, and it looks like this. Give up the remote control. Not just to walk out of the room, no, give up the remote control and say, hey, I want to watch what you want to watch. Maybe sacrifice looks like holding your tongue in the heat of the moment when you really feel like saying so much. Nope, I remember what God did for me. Not going to do it. But as church members, we willingly make sacrifices of our time, like maybe help out with our music program, help out with ushering, maybe with the bake sale, maybe help setting up or cleaning up after a pancake breakfast. All of us have the opportunity to sacrifice for God in our church offerings. Not just give what we have left over, but give of our best. Why? Because when we remember what God did for us in showing us mercy, how do we not want to show God our love right back? You may not have the opportunity this Thanksgiving week to spill a goldfish bowl, to spare someone else from embarrassment. But I promise you, if you just open your eyes to the people that God brings into your life, you and I can be living sacrifices. And I pray that when you do, you don't just remember the boy at the beginning of my sermon. I pray that you remember the God-man who hung on the cross to show God's mercy to us. Amen.